Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have completed yet another journey through the birth, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord, and have witnessed the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to proclaim the salvation through Christ alone. And we have witnessed and confessed the triune nature of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We now turn our attention to how our holy triune God makes for himself a holy people. For we know that in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. He spent 6 days in labor, creating all that there is. But on the seventh day, he rested. On the seventh day, he took in all that he created, and he called it good, for it reflected his own divine holiness. And so he blessed that day, and he sanctified it, and he made it holy. Yet when the serpent came and caused Eve to doubt God's good work, that it was truly good and truly holy, that God was in fact holding out on her, she reached out and rebelled against God's work. And Adam rebelled right along with her. And in that moment, God's work was corrupted on account of their rebellion. It was no longer holy. We were no longer holy. All that was left for us was death and destruction. That is, unless we could somehow be made holy again. And so God made for himself a holy people, blessed and sanctified and set apart from the world. He found a man who still, despite his sin, turned to God and looked at him for all his good. And he made that man to be a father of a great nation. God gave to his descendants the holy law for this purpose, to set them apart, to mark them as his own, to make them his holy ones, through which he would bless the whole world and make it holy. We heard part of that law today in our Old Testament reading, concerning that day that God set apart and made holy, the Sabbath day, literally the day of rest. Just as God labored for 6 days and rested on the seventh, so too his holy people would be made to reflect his holiness in the world by working for 6 days and resting on the seventh. But what is the reason for this resting? What is this reason for God's command? In our gospel lesson, we see the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees over this very question. The Pharisees were well versed in the written and tradition of the law, for their ancestors believed that they could make themselves holy by expanding upon that holy law given to them by God, to ensure that they would never break a single one of his commandments. As a result, their whole lives became bent on a continuous striving after achieving their own holiness, their own salvation, by following this law. What's worse, not only do they hold themselves to such standards of their own making, but they held others to them as well. When they saw the disciples of Jesus plucking the heads of grain, they condemned them for not resting on the Sabbath. The Pharisees asked Jesus why they were doing what was not lawful. But Jesus in turn demonstrated that they in fact had established their own standard of godliness, of goodness, of holiness. And that standard was not rooted in God's holiness, but in that same rebellion that caused Eve to reach out. They did not understand that their holiness came from a different source. For God's commandments were not given to make us holy, but to show us the holiness of God and how unholy our works actually are. Our own works are done in that same original rebellion, claiming that God's work is not good because it is not yet complete, that there is still something left undone that we ourselves must do to complete it, to make it good, to make it holy. But we are no better off than Adam and Eve and the Pharisees as we force our own standards of holiness upon the world. How often do we strive to make the world in our own image, in our own ideas of what it means to be holy? We do not trust the goodness of God and somehow view His work and word as incomplete, as insufficient. There must be something else we must do. It must be improved upon. We then seek to create the world in our own image, to reflect our own ideas and notions of holiness. We strive to meet those definitions of holiness, and when others do not meet those standards, we hold it against them. When someone does something that we don't like or don't meet our standards, we complain about them, in our holiness, of course. When we feel betrayed by a friend, we hold a grudge against them, in our holiness, of course. When we feel hurt by our spouse or those we love, we lash out at them in anger, in our holiness, of course. And we work hard to maintain that holiness, showing just how holy we remain through it all. It's hard for us to look at ourselves, to examine our own thoughts, words, and deeds, to swallow our pride and see our sin for what it is. So instead, we hold grudges and blame others and insist that we ourselves are holy. But yet, when we see all of this work for what it is and we call it out, we realize that all we really are accomplishing is wearing ourselves out and getting nowhere close to being holy. This is why God commands the Sabbath rest. After Jesus tells the Pharisees, "We are not made to keep the Sabbath holy, but the Sabbath was made to keep us holy, for it was God Himself who blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." God is not interested in condemning us, but is interested instead in giving us life. His commandment is given to protect this gift of life, which is why David and his men were not condemned by God for taking the bread of presence, which was only reserved for the priest, because they needed it for sustenance. They needed it for life. And this is what God concerns Himself with. God told the Israelites, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Rest and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." This command of Sabbath rest flows out of God's own work for our redemption. God commands His holy ones to rest in order to be reminded that their holiness does not come from their own striving, but that all of their good, including their holiness and salvation, comes from God alone. Thus, Christ was not breaking the Sabbath when He allowed His disciples to eat on the Sabbath, but in His ministry of salvation, He was fulfilling the very purpose of that Sabbath rest. For in His ministry, Christ was at work giving us life by delivering us from the bondage of sin and giving us eternal rest. We are His saints, and we know that Christ's rest in the tomb on the Sabbath has given us rest for eternity. We no longer need to try and strive after holiness, For we know that on account of Christ and his resurrection, we have already been made holy. God has declared it to be so. That is why the early Christians moved worship of God from the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, that is Saturday, to Sunday. For that is the first day of creation. That is the first day of the new creation. For that is the day that not only God created light, but he gave the light of Christ into our hearts. All that is left for us now is to remain in his holiness, to trust in God's goodness, and to rest in Christ. That means to return over and over to that place where we receive Christ and his holiness. That is why Luther says that we obey this command as we continue to gather together to receive the forgiveness of sins through God's word and sacrament. That also means we no longer hold on to our own notions of holiness, but instead we turn to our neighbors and we forgive them. We forgive those who have sinned against us, just as we ourselves have been forgiven. This is why Paul can confidently say, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. We know what Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us, that he himself has made us holy. And so, on account of that, we are willing to suffer all evil for his sake. For in him we have our rest, and we suffer, and as we suffer, our sinful notions of holiness are being conformed to his own holiness, the one who suffered for our sake. Though we are afflicted in every way, we are not crushed. Though we are perplexed, we are not driven to despair. Though we are persecuted, we are not forsaken. Though we are struck down, we are not destroyed. For as the holy ones of God, we always carry within us and within our own suffering the death of Jesus, so that his life and his holiness may also be manifested within us as well, as we wait for that day, the coming of the Lord, when his holiness will no longer be hidden, but revealed to the world to see. And until that day, may the grace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in that rest, that peace in Christ. Amen.